And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
And it's another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge in D.C., Waz in L.A. What's up, player?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Just chilling. Just 80 degrees yesterday, D.A. We out of the cold winter, the dead of winter. More 54 degree days, man. I can see just nothing but sunshine and warmth in my future.
All right, now we got to keep this under an hour today because Waz got to talk to the Chirons back in Brooklyn.
Yes, I do.
At the top of the hour about his career. I love that.
Hold on. Tell the kids. Oh, Waz love the kids?
Yes, sir. Talking to the kids at the top of the hour, Marcus. They want to know about my career in the creative industries for Black History Month. So,
oh, hold on. You reached Black History levels right now? Is that what's happening? Is that what's going on?
Waz is an icon now, Marcus. Marcus Thompson.
So they say. I just neither here nor there for me. So they say. Somebody who I'm cool with reached out to me. She's an administrator at a middle school, I believe, out in Brooklyn, and asked me to talk about what we do. And she's like, you're a younger Black person who's in the creative fields, and I feel like you're very successful at it. Absolutely. And the kids would, you know, they would benefit from hearing your story. I was like, what? Sure.
Wow, let's do it.
DA. Waz on historical tip.
Man,
we got
Ida B. Wells, we got Dr. King, we got Garrett Morgan, and we got Waz Elaborate. That's what I'm talking about. That's what you know you won.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
I love it. Marcus Thompson from the Bay. What's up, sir?
It is, as Waz said, beautiful outside. I mean, just absolutely majestic. And I don't know if it's because we've been in this pandemic, but something about California air right now is literal therapy. That's all I'm saying.
I am running outside when we're done doing this because it's nice today. It's a little windy out, but I don't care. I need to get outside. I mean, yes, I hear y'all. It's funny. I was talking to a pro scout today. He hadn't left his house in 11 months. It's incredible. Like, I think everybody's going crazy. It's beyond stir crazy.
Like, what is he, Sean Connery? What has happened here? 11 months.
It's crazy, man. So, yeah, I understand. The need to get out and breathe some fresh air. Please go do it if you can. Even if you just walk around the block for 10 minutes, it's better than nothing. I swear. So get outside and breathe some air if it's at all possible. But Marcus, let's talk about your squad. I didn't hear what Draymond said yesterday. What did he say? He talked yesterday. What did he say?
He essentially said he was wrong. He used the words. I don't know where they do this in Saginaw, Michigan, but he said, I was dead ass wrong. And for a second, I was like, is this Waz? Like, what's happening here? He basically did what Draymond does. This is why people love Draymond, because he is the first one to go off on people. He is the one who's going to correct you. He is going to yell at you. Yeah. If you play with Draymond, you're going to hear it from Draymond. But Draymond also hears from Draymond, right? Like, he will call it on himself. Mm-hmm. So that's what he did. He stood up. He said, "Y'all was wrong." He was like, "I'm different than I was when I was 25. At 30, like, I shouldn't be doing this. This is unacceptable." Right. And he said one of the more poignant things he said, I thought, was, you know, he said he appreciated the support from his teammates, but his behavior did not warrant support. He was like, I don't deserve y'all support. So he was very contrite. He was very, like, he took it on the chin, and he did what he needed to do to kind of move on from the situation.
You know, speaking of poignant, from reading your piece, Marcus, about this whole thing, about do we still want Draymond around? Do y'all still want Draymond around? What I thought was most fascinating is, you know, just as somebody who's been watching the Warriors throughout the years since basically the Spurs series that they barely lost, I always looked at Draymond as a leader, right? Like, because he is the person who's most demonstrative. He's going to say the most. He plays with the most passion, or outward passion anyway. He always had something to say. I always looked at him as a leader, but you brought up the fact that there were guys like David West on the team who were like the big dogs, the old heads, the level-headed guys, and Draymond could go out and be the fire-breathing dragon because they had those guys. But now Draymond is the David West of this team, and he took responsibility for that. I thought that was amazing.
Can you imagine that moment, though? I was thinking about this as I was writing that. That moment, you know, we all have that thing that we say we're going to do when we get older. Like, no matter what it is, like, man, my credit going to be together when I get to 40, or, right? You know, right. I'm going to lose this weight when I get to this point.
Right.
And when you wake up and realize you're at that point and it ain't done, right? Where Draymond was like, you know what? I'm going to be like David West. I'm going to be the wise sage like Jermaine O'Neal, right? Right now, I'm going off on people. But when I get to this age, I'm going to be this person. And then you wake up this day and it's like, oh, y'all, I'm supposed to be here by now, right? Like, so you could tell it hit him. You could tell it hit him like, wow, I got Eric Paschal and James Wiseman and all these youngsters, like, they're looking up to me. I'm supposed to be their David West. And normally, I was initially thinking, like, this is Draymond. Like, he been doing this for years. Why, he ain't changing. 30 is too old to change.
Yeah.
But then, that you start thinking about that type of stuff, and it's like, okay, that might be the change right there. That might be the part where it's like, all right, 30 is old NBA, but it's actually pretty young. You can still learn some lessons, right? You can still figure some things out.
Right.
So, but and Draymond always gravitated towards those guys. I don't know if you remember the story, but when he first came in, Jeremy Tyler was his vet. Jeremy Tyler was like a year older than him or two, something like that. Second round pick. Not very good, but Draymond literally denounced that dude as his vet. He's like, yeah, you can't be my vet. Like, nah, not you. And went under Jared Jack, right? It's always been the OGs. It's always been the old heads. It's been the guys he look up to. Like as Steve Kerr said, David West, not only he would have listened to David West, but David West literally could have picked him up and removed him from the situation, right? That person ain't there no more. Like, there's nobody reeling Draymond in. Mm. There's no Jermaine O'Neal. You know what I'm saying? He grew up under those guys, and now he is that guy. I was like, yo, that's pretty deep when you think about it. Like, you got a little grays in your beard. Now you got to be the wise one. Like, getting old kind of sucks sometimes.
And you mentioned this. I think I know where you are on this, but you raised the point of y'all still riding with Draymond. I cannot imagine Draymond Green being a more impactful player anywhere other than where he is right now. I just can't believe it. Like, if they traded him to Dallas, or if they traded him, you know, to Atlanta or Miami, maybe Miami, I don't know, but I feel like this is where Draymond Green can be the best version of himself and have the most impact on the team he's playing on because of the institutional memory, because he has been part of championship organizations. I wonder what you thought.
No question. Like, could he be effective somewhere else? Yeah, I'm sure. I know Dame and CJ would love to have
him. My man Nate Jones exactly. My man Nate Jones would beg to differ with you.
Yeah, DA. I know they want to have him. Like, there are some teams with offensive punch that could use Draymond, but man, like, this is Draymond's DNA is in that jersey. You know what I'm saying? Like, what they love about the Warriors, like, he built it. So it would be, I don't know, man. There's a part of me that's old school still. It's like, nah, B, like, Larry Bird ends with the Celtics. Like, this is how it goes. Right. Like, once you start winning championships, like, can you imagine Manu Ginobili in another jersey? Like, nah, that's not how it go. I was for the pay Kobe whatever amount. I don't care if it takes your team for 5 years. Like, when people bring you championships, You ride it out.
He earned that.
You ride it out. So I'm. I feel it. I mean, it's not. And I'm not saying like obviously Steph is a Hall of Famer. Like it's all around Steph. It's all around. Like everything is built around Steph. But this thing ain't happening without Draymond, right? So that means you got to put up with some stuff. You know, got to put up with it.
Yeah. For me, the other part of it, from what you wrote, Marcus, that stuck with me was Steve Kerr's quotes when he kept saying, like, the guys in that locker room love Draymond. So, like, to me, that says everything, right? Like, the people who he's at work with every day, the young guys, they look at Draymond and they love what he brings to the situation. And we've seen how toxic work environments can poison stuff
literally
anywhere, right? Like when guys, and we've seen it on this team. seen it on this team. And for Kerr to come out and say, look, man, like if you want to do the cost benefit analysis, this is not even a discussion. Yeah. Draymond Green is a big part of what we do, man. Not just because of what he does on the floor, but because the young guys buy into the type of guy that he is and they love him. And, you know, the thing about Draymond that Amin always brings up, he's like, yeah, he is that crazy person. He is that fiery person. He will get in your face, but it's for the right basketball things every single time. Right? Like, it's not in service of, yo, I'm taking 30 shots. I need to be taking 35, which is usually the case. In Draymond's case, like, no, we're not doing the right
basketball thing. Like, yo, that wasn't the right rotation
for the team. Right?
That's hilarious.
You know, like, how can you argue against that? You know what I'm saying?
You know, I mean, we know what this is kind of all about, though, right? Like, it's the fact that the dude can't score, right? And yeah, so part of it is why people are down on him and frustrated with it. That's part of it because, like, he's shooting 30%, 30-something percent from the field, like 20% from three. And we're actually technically not that far removed from his last dominant play, which was, like, the 2019. Like, peak Draymond was 2019 against the Blazers in the West Finals, right? Like, that was – he was incredible. And that's not that far away, actually, but because we've been through so much, it seems like a long time ago, right? It seems like a long time ago. So it's been a while since people have seen Draymond kind of just dominate like that. So I do think a lot of this has to do with his decline in offense, but I also think that's why he's kind of got to take this role better, right? Part of Draymond's value is the intangible stuff. It is that these guys are looking up to you. It is that you feel better about Wiseman and Pascal, right? And Jordan Poole and all these guys and Andrew Wiggins because you're like, yo, Draymond's going to help him, right? Like, that's part of his value. And that value increases as his offense decreases, right? Like, so part of that is he's got to be better at that element because he can't fall back on the fact that, yo, I'm giving you 13-7 and the best defense in the world. It's more like I'm giving you 4, 11 assists, and really great defense. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, but
not elite, but great.
Also, I'm responsible for developing your protege center, right? And I'm responsible for the renovation of Andrew Wiggins, right? And I'm responsible for the top five defense in the NBA. Like that, all that is part of the package that makes you say, we're going to be okay with 23% shooting. Like, although, man, it really helped if you make a couple of the layups, but show up in the playoffs and do this other stuff, and you still are man.
It's the Russell Westbrook corollary with Washington. Like 26% on threes. But dude does get double-digit rebounds and assists every game, so...
You know, and I can't lie. Watching Tom Brady win a championship on the Bucks, sometimes we think to ourselves, you know, he's not going to have the same type of success outside of the system, outside of Belichick, outside of this. They've built such a crazy thing over there together. Why would they mess that up? It's never going to be the same. Sometimes you do got to leave to prove to people like, no, I'm actually a bad MF, right? Not that. Not that we thought Tom Brady wasn't, although as a Jets fan, I was secretly hoping he would crash and fail in Tampa. And of course, he never came. I was praying. laying on it, Marcus.
Didn't turn out that way for you.
Brady is a reminder, though. Like, you don't want to, man. You know, I will believe Draymond is done when he's done in the playoffs. That's when I'll believe it.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, switching lanes a little bit here, Marcus, and to keep it on Draymond, but it's something different that I haven't even gotten to talk to you about yet. Was it was about a week or a week and a half ago when Draymond stopped his press conference so he could talk about the situation with Andre Drummond, with Blake Griffin, with teams purposely sidelining guys, and the mistreatment he felt like players receive on their end. When teams don't want them, right? James Harden forces his way out, and at least Draymond did say, "Look, that was nasty what he did." we can admit that was nasty did, how right? James got out of there. But again, he got killed for it. And now the treatment of Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, have we seen it over and over where teams would be like, "All right, you don't get to play no more because we get moving on from you. But you need to stay in shape. You need to do all of this stuff." And he's talking about the mistreatment of guys. I was very struck by that. Why do you think Draymond went out and said that?
there's a part of Draymond that wants to be that guy, right? He wants to be the one who says what nobody will say, right? Like, plus, like, Draymond's going to be a media dude, right? He's going to be that guy, right? So I do feel like it bothered him to watch. The big reason, if we were ranking the reasons, like, number one, I think it's because he got fined by commenting on Devin Booker, you know, while he's doing TNT inside the NBA, right? It's like, yo, I'm not trying to recruit this dude. I just said, hey, he should go to another team. And y'all fined me. Like, I can't even mention another guy's talk about his career options, right? So I do think that was part of it. But Draymond's going to say, like, his whole brand is, "I'm going to say it. Ain't nobody's going to say it. I'm going to say it." You know what was hilarious was when he was explaining why he felt so bad about what he did, part of his explanation was, he said, before this game, the Charlotte game and the meltdown, if you Google Draymond, he was like, "You would have seen me give one of the most powerful speeches in NBA history. And now if you Google it, you'll get this." And I was like, low-key, Draymond just called his speech like one of the most powerful in NBA history. I was like, word? That wasn't the most humble brag of all time. It's like, I mean, I was just, right, that's, you just that's, saw me as that guy who gave one of the most powerful speeches.
Right. That's like me talking to the kids as if I'm Marcus Garvey.
Exactly
today.
Right. It's like, man, you should have heard the speech I gave. Top five all time, dead or alive. But I do think it's important that somebody points out the inconsistencies, right? And I think that's why.
Sure.
And Draymond's got his money, right? Draymond's got his last big contract, so he can take these shots. He can do it. His contract is guaranteed. He's not going to get another big one. He can take these shots, right? So I felt like he was taking one on the chin. I'm sure he talked to Andre Drummond before the game, right? Like, I'm sure he had a conversation, was like, "Yo, what's really going on?" So I just feel like Draymond was positioning himself to be that guy to say, "Yo, I will speak on our behalf. If nobody else will, I'm going to say it. But y'all see what's going on here, right? I got fined. AD got fined. AD, his guy with Clutch, right? So he's standing up for guys. And that's really who Draymond is. Draymond is a dude who prides himself on standing up for other people. who he ride with. So, like, I get what he was saying. Now, Waz, I will say, I'm not sure he picked the right guy. I'm not sure.
In Drummond. Right? Sure.
I'm not sure he picked the right guy as the sympathetic figure. And also, I do feel like even though that is a real employee issue with them, right? That's a real work issue in their realm. I'm just not sure how much it's going to hit in this climate, right? And where we're
That's what I was going to say. Like, I think we're in such a funny sort of in-between moment where the players have never been more successful financially. But we also got to recognize that they didn't get there by being people that complained in the public about their treatment and all of this stuff all the time, right? I think there's a disconnect between the players understanding the sort of, let's face it, acting that they have to do in public to sell who they are to the viewing public. The sort of, you know, sort of like when Kim Kardashian and them calls the paparazzi to take pictures of them pumping gas so that the people who love them could be like, celebrities, they're just like us, right? Like, there's a certain level of that these guys need to be doing if they want to continue to make money at this level that I don't think they fully grasp and understand. While obviously I agree with everything Draymond just said, but I think what they need to also remember is that the fans don't feel like their self-interests are aligned with the players. If what they do is root for the laundry, root for the team, root for the seats in that arena, the fans are not going to see themselves as being allies of the players. They're allies of the team, i.e. ownership. And I don't know how Draymond, I think the way to do this is not to say this isn't fair. I think it's to actually just say what it is and paint it as the most horrible thing that could happen to a person, right? To be like, to talk about what it's like to talk to somebody in their face and they tell you one thing and then they do something different on the back end. I think they do need to paint themselves as sympathetic figures to engender some type of positive feeling from the quote-unquote paying customer. I don't know that how Draymond did it is right, although obviously I agree with every single thing that he said, even if it was in service of Andre freaking Drummond.
Yeah, no question. Like, what he said is, I mean, it's very obvious, right? There is a clear double standard. And the truth is, he's not just talking about the league, too, right? He's talking about how the viewer responds, right? Like, he's talking about how this thing shapes the perspective, right? And what the perspective ends up being. If a player does it, like, he's selfish. If a team does it, it's business, right? He's kind of attacking the paradigm of how we view this thing and it being unfair. I mean, like, as someone who is personally, like we were in the middle of dealing with, you know, just this monstrosity, right? Like, there are people who are trying to get work and are trying to find a way to just sustain. Yeah. And, you know, I forgot who I was listening to. I think it was Bomani Jones, who was like, yo, it's easy to tell other people how they should be acting when we're, like, sitting behind a computer getting paid, right? Like, that's me. Like, I haven't lost a nickel through this thing, right? So I'm very conscious about how I talk about other people. So for me, it's just hard. Like, if I'm sitting here and I'm struggling and it's like, yo, if I have to deal with this and still get paid, like, that's fine to me. I'm not going to feel the connection to, like, oh man, that's wrong. They really doing y'all like that? And it's like, people just trying to get paid. Like, the question is, so hold on, are you getting paid right now? Okay. Well, and you got to put up, that's all you got to put up with. All right. Well, you know, holler at me when I can just get paid. Like, I just want to get paid. So for me, I was just like, it's going to be tough to sell to an audience that is watching people struggle, right? We're watching what's happening in Texas, right? We're watching all this stuff. And to think, man, that's wrong how they doing Andre Drummond. It's just a hard thing to land right now. It's a hard circle.
Absolutely.
It's like, you know, come on, man.
Or circle the square.
And he's right, though. He's right, though. It's not just a double standard that literally exists, and it impacts them. It impacts, like, I mean, think about it. Maybe Brooklyn doesn't do that deal, right? If, like, that's what I was thinking. Harden is killing his chances for a deal, like, because he looks selfish, right? He's looking like somebody's out there,
right?
Because our natural inclination is to think
that way. And then he sat there and garnered the biggest haul ever for a trade of a superstar.
So it's like, yo, I mean, what he's saying makes a lot of sense, and it needs to be investigated. But that just feels like a CBA issue. Like, y'all need to work that out. Like, we over here trying to deal with our own employment issues, and they dealing with the EDD, right? Like, so yeah, I mean, I feel you. That sounds like an issue y'all should bring up in y'all next contract talks. But as for us over here, I don't know, man. I'm super personally affected by all this. Like, I got a whole bunch of family. Nobody got no money. Everybody trying to find a job. So for me personally, it's like, I mean, I feel you. Mm. Salute. I hope you fix that. but I'm over here in these streets.
Yeah, and again, I understand the sort of labor dispute that he's trying to litigate in the press, right? Because, again, they will be blamed when the public sours on the product because James Harden was at a strip club with no mask on instead of reporting to camp on time, right? Yeah. Like, he's like, we're going to get blamed for that with our business partners in the league when they say you're hurting the product, you're hurting the perception of the type of product that we offer, what type of guys you are. Like, we're selling you guys as, you know, wholesome, not even just wholesome, but just quality family men, hardworking, dedicated to the job, dedicated to the people they work with. And James Harden is flouting the freaking rules, coming back out of shape, doing it's hard for us to sell the game like that, which I get. Like, he's just like, yo, y'all blame us for losing money all the time. And then on top of that, y'all treat us like dirt. It's like, when are we supposed to get some type of reprieve for being, or some type of, I don't even know, just
freedom
for being
just freedom.
The people that,
like, I want to talk about what I want to talk about. Like, why are you trying to shut me up? Right. Like that's, I'm like, yo, if I'm Draymond, I would have been pissed about that. Like, you mean to tell me that they could openly trade somebody and say, we're going to do this and it's cool. And if I mention, yo, that dude got to get out of Phoenix, I'm getting fined. Like, that's right. That's insane. And they have the, especially the part, they have the cover of, well, I didn't say it. I leaked, you know, the media did that. When we know who's leaking it. Yeah,
double
we
standard,
know who's
fellas.
It.
Double I'll, standard.
That's,
we
that's
all
the
know.
Perfect cover. I'm going to get this to one of the newsbreakers, you know, let them handle it. So if I'm, especially when you watch Andre Drummond, right? And you hear the report, he's going to sit, they're going to trade him. Oh, man, where? And there's always this hint of, well, you don't know what the truth is. You don't know the whole story. It's probably true. Like, we know the reporters is usually on point. But there's always that part you don't know because it's all sourcing, right? But then when a dude sitting on a bench in street clothes, it's like, nailed it, right? Like, so, yeah, it's so it's facts, right? And it's like, they basically did what players do. That's literally the example, except they leaked it through the media instead of saying it to a recorder. And that, for me, is a bit hypocrisy. Like, I get that 1,000%. Like, at least let me speak my piece.
Draymond's, his point was right. His example was wrong. That's all I'm saying. The point was right. But you can't use Harden. Because
so
I can't
you say
get
Sally
with a guy
going to use Andre Drummond.
Harden. I can't get with a dude that basically, you know, dogged it on his way out of town, and especially to a young black head coach. I'm sorry. I can't get with that.
I mean, yeah.
Guys waited his whole life for a shot to be an NBA head coach.
I was with Silas from the beginning.
He's waited his whole life.
Silas used to be with the Warriors way back in the day. Silas is a great dude, too.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, a great guy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this ain't no fly-by-night dude. This dude's been waiting 15 years for his shot.
He didn't do no dirt on the way either. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't seedy about it. There was no, if you know Steven Silas, you know he did everything the absolute right way. Like, that dude is one of the best humans in the world. So yeah, that's dumb.
That's all I need.
No question.
I just couldn't. I can't get with that as the example.
But
to me,
DA,
doesn't he
have to do that because of the double standard? Like, a player can't just be like, "Yo, I kind of want out."
Maybe. I mean, I'm willing to have a discussion about, you know, if you do it the right way and above board and blase blase, do you get what you want? Or do you have to, like, you know, be stank about it and get what you want, you know, to get what you want? And that's a fair question, and it's a fair discussion point. I'm not saying it's not. I just hate it when star players sabotage. Hmm. And I'm not saying he was sabotaging Steven Silas, but he sabotaged his ability to get off to a good start. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And so that, to me, is troublesome.
But then you know what I will say, though, to that, DA? And you are right. And because it is personal to Steven Silas, a guy who literally worked in the league for 20 years, to get 20 years of dues being paid.
His dad did it, and he didn't take that quick route. You know what I'm saying? Like,
dude.
Right.
This man done paid his dues, right? And so... Right. To do him like that is, I hear you. But then I have the counterexample of AD, who did it a different way. And you know what happened?
Right. And got killed. Yes.
Got killed. Yes. And guess what? Yes. New Orleans wanted to tank. So they said, we didn't trade you because we were in our feelings. But you're willing to play and play hard and bust your ass.
Yeah.
But we want to tank. So we only going to play you 20 minutes a game. And it became this huge, it was a joke. It was a joke. It was like, hold up now. I want to play. Y'all paying me to play. I'm going to go out and be excellent. No. We trying to get draft picks, young man. Sorry. It was like,
that's fair.
You know what
I
mean?
That's fair. And like I said, maybe you do have to be stank to get what you want.
It feels that way at times.
Think about it. In what universe, if just say there was a point at some point that Steph was unhappy, right? Let's just say he wanted to go home to Charlotte, right? And maybe he didn't like the ownership. Maybe it was, you know, who knows, whatever the reason. How is he going to make that happen under contract?
Right.
Like, he can't. He'd have to go Steven Jackson, who was the master of this, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. I can't say you're wrong. I'm not killing Harden for it. I just think there was collateral damage there that maybe he didn't think about. That's all. You know, and it just troubles me. That's all.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
But let's get to these questions because people did send in good, not stupid questions this week. And I want to get to a couple of them because Waz has to go do his thing. Yeah. We do this every week. We say very simply, don't ask stupid questions. Now, Marcus, this will be an example of a stupid question. Like the Warriors, you know, they need another scorer. So why can't they trade Kelly Oubre to, you know, why can't they trade him to Dallas for Luka? That's a good trade. That's a good trade for both teams.
On a trade machine.
See, that's a stupid question. Yeah, exactly. I don't like stupid questions, so don't send us stupid questions. All right, we got a few this week. Tuck Wagon. We'll start with Tuck Wagon. Speaking of Houston, he says, "What do you think of Houston pulling the plug on the Boogie Cousins experiment at this point in time? And where do you think a good landing spot would be if there is one?" And that's a good question. I don't know. The short answer is I can't come up immediately with a team that I think he would just slide in and be great with. I mean, I think there's, like, to me, like, could Boston use a big man? Yeah, they could. They need one. They do. Does he fit with the guys he would be playing with on a second unit?
It's tough.
I'm not sure. You know? I mean, Boogie, and I'm not being critical, but you got to give him the ball for him to be effective, right? I mean, you got to give him multiple touches for him to be effective. And I don't know who's rocking like that anymore in the NBA.
I thought Boston, that's a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, Boston comes to mind.
But what they want is a big who's going to defend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You know, it's tough because I thought this Houston thing was going to work for him. Being reunited with John Wall, having available minutes. Obviously, Christian Wood is the guy there. But
he's been great.
There's no reason Boogie couldn't have played 20 minutes a night, you know, against inferior bench units and cooked. But it seems like he doesn't have it on offense. He's never really been Bill Russell, let's face it, on defense. Yeah. So it's tough, man. It's tough. Maybe a team, I wouldn't even say a team like Charlotte could use them realistically.
Yeah.
It'd be like a Orlando, possibly.
Maybe.
Man, you know what I say for these situations. If there's a tough landed spot.
Sacramento?
For you,
just kidding.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Papa fix it. Just go.
Yeah, San Antonio.
Papa fix.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pop. Yeah. Let's see how great you are, Pop. Let's go.
That's good. I like that. That's good. That's a good one. I mean, you know, whether it's him or Blake or Andre Drummond, I mean, you can see the same type of guys are available now. You know, kind of immobile bigs that don't really score that much anymore, you know. Or don't score from the outside anyway, I'll put it that way. So I don't know. That's a tough one. That's a tough one, Tuck Wagon. Liam Davis Temple, what do the Timberwolves need to do to become a competent franchise? Damn, Liam.
Competent ownership.
You ain't lying, but I'm just saying.
Ownership. Competent ownership. Period. Yeah,
people sleep on
starts
that.
At the top, DA. Yeah. Starts at the top. They had one damn season with KG, Sam IM, Spree, and all of them, Troy Hudson and all of them. Right. 150 games and was a competitive championship, almost quality type of level of team. Then they had the 1 year with Jimmy Buckets.
Right.
And that's it. the entire history of the franchise ever.
Mm-hmm.
Was an eighth seed. Right. They would have been better, but Jimmy was hurt and all of that. They were probably the level of a fifth seed that year. But. Yeah. Two seasons, one fifth seed level to other. I think that KG year, they won like 52 games, which is like,
face it. They got to the conference finals. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
That was it.
That's ownership. When you go that long a time of stinking the joint up, what's the common denominator? Ownership.
Yeah. And the biggest tail.
Glenn Taylor got to go,
the
y'all.
The biggest tail is like, he actually spent money. like you can see if he wasn't spending money, he's like, oh, you just cheap. You know, like we got that with the A's, right? The
right,
A's
right.
Bro, they called him the big ticket for a reason, right? They've been shelling out money and they just keep getting in their own way with these blunder moves. Like even how they got the coach. Yeah. Like come on, man. That's not how you go get a coach.
We're gonna talk about how they did my man Vanderpool dirty up there in a minute, but that's probably another topic for another day. I can't disagree with what y'all said. I mean, there is one common denominator, and he still owns the team, and that has to at some point be part of the discussion point. Kike RG says, "Are the Wizards for real?" Get a local parochial question in here. You got to define what for real is. Right. You mean like not sucking? Is that what you mean?
No matter what they mean, the answer is yes. Pick the reason. Right. Yes, the Wizards are for real. Let's go.
Yeah.
11-17? What? Yes. 11 wins already? What?
Dude, it's unbelievable that the Wizards could win 5 games in a row and people think that they should have a parade down Pennsylvania Avenue. You know what I mean? Like, I've heard from people I ain't heard from in 3 years. Wizards won 5 games in a row.
When the last time the Wizards been 3 games out the playoffs this late in the season?
Yeah. Probably the last time they made the playoffs, right? Man. 2017, whenever that was. Yeah, no, it's crazy. Dude, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how little success is required for people to lose their damn minds about the Wizards. They're playing better. Russ is healthier now. So they're playing better. They're actually guarding people. So that helps. Not giving up $135 every night helps. So they're trying to play better defense. Does that make them a 7 seed in the East? Yeah, maybe.
I think they have enough to do that.
Wizards going to the playoffs. Yeah. You need to go ahead and book this now. Book it.
Yeah, I mean, they just need to make the playoffs to keep Brad happy, at least for a year, you know. So
book it, buddy.
That would be I'll tell you what. That bro can score now.
Oh,
he is a 3-level scorer now.
Hey, y'all. Watching him in crunch time against the Lakers last night, I'm like, what do you do one-on-one against this kid? What are you supposed to do? Dude. How are you supposed to guard him?
You're not guarding this dude.
How?
No. Yeah, he'd give it to you any way you want.
He's going
to
kill you. He's going to murder. If you play up on him, he's going to take it to the rack, and he has enough strength now. He has harnessed his – oh, my goodness, man. Yeah. He's harnessed his strength and such. He knows how to leverage that. He got the crazy step back. He's got the – if you do your little drop coverage, he's going to pull up in the mid-range from three. Like, what are you going to do?
It's not that many dudes in this league where when they shoot, you think it's going in. Like, he's one of them dudes. Yeah. Like, I don't expect him to miss.
Facts. He's one of the dudes.
It's crazy.
Facts. Yeah, and the few times we got to see him in the playoffs, he proved that he's a gamer. He's a 16-game guy, too. So,
I don't know.
I'm a big fan of Bradley Beals, man.
I hope they get to the playoffs and play. And, you know, if they can avoid the 1 seed, you know, I mean, or the 8 seed, I should say. I think they could actually be competitive with just about everybody in the East. I'm not saying they're going to beat anybody in the first round, but I think they could be competitive if Russ is healthy. If Russ is healthy, and he's healthier now. Let's finish up with Sear, S-E-E-R, wants to know, do athletes have a role in social justice? If athletes are using their resources to elevate their communities and work within, that's fine. But if they put themselves at the center of movements, these easily become co-opted BLM became slogans on jerseys. Now, these easily become co-opted, period. BLM became slogans on jerseys. Fair questions here. I think local is the way to go. I don't think you can do much nationally. I really don't. I don't think there's a whole lot that you can do nationally as a players group to foment the kind of societal change that I think Sear is talking
about. I listen to everything Wah says, and he said something on a different pod that just made incredible sense when he said it. But they're playing the game like they're not rich. They're doing it like they're community organizers. Like if they want to make the change, do it in a boardroom. Do it, get in the meetings where, you know, the backroom deals and all that. But they're trying to be the front line in the streets advocates. And if that's the case, yeah, do it in your city. I think there are a million ways they can do this. Do they have a responsibility? I mean, it kind of depends on where they're from, right? Like, I mean, I'm sure some of their hoods will say they do have a responsibility. But, I mean, is Steph responsible? Like, that's on him to decide, right? Like, he came right. for money, right? So, I'm not going to say... He, yeah. You always say, don't forget where you came from. Like, he came from a pretty nice spot. So, I don't know what he has to do. But this idea of them being, like, the ones in the front lines with the pick, like, they rich for that, man. They rich, their contribution... is the ability to go to get access to places and people and all that stuff that people can't get to.
Yeah.
So that's what I think they need to do. Right. Did I get it right, Waz?
Yeah, and I want to add something to that about what you guys said locally. Because of the diversity of player in the NBA, and what I mean by that is not typical diversity when they talk about, you know, a guy's skin color. I'm talking about the diversity of what it means to be Quinn Cook and what it means to be LeBron James in the NBA, right? Like, that's just completely different meanings of job title, description, right. all of that stuff, right? I'm thinking about Bessemer, Alabama right now. I just saw Danny Glover is going to the Amazon factory down there because they're trying to unionize for better wages, for healthcare, for all of these things from Amazon, the richest company in the world, right? These people, black women mostly at this factory. And yeah, Danny Glover's down there trying to help them out. You know, I would love to see Boogie Cousins go down there. I would love to see Eric Bledsoe go down there. People who are from Alabama who would bring, you know, a microscope and shine a light on this, because the bottom line is all the sloganeering and kneeling and fist pumping and all of that type of stuff is great and it's cool and it looks great on camera, but that shit don't materially change nobody's lives. Like, these women and the men down there at this factory, whose lives would be changed, financial security, a pension, all of these things, again, for the richest company in the world. Jeff Bezos would still be richer than God, still own trillions of private planes, still be whoever the hell he wants to be, while allowing the, you know, the material circumstances of these people's lives to be changed would be the case. And, you know, part of me is like, I don't know if LeBron James could do that. He's so intertwined with the power structure. You know, like could LeBron James go against Amazon? Like, would it be in his best business interest to do that? I don't know that he could. But I think other NBA players could, because they're not, you know, in partnership with Warner Brothers, right? Like, sure, LeBron James takes an adversarial tone against one set of oligarchs in the NBA, right? But Nike's his freaking partners. In another context, right? So I don't know if LeBron James can actually go against Amazon in a credible fashion because of who he is. The man's a damn near billionaire himself. But I think other NBA players could, honestly. I really do.
He's doing it locally. LeBron's doing it locally. He's doing it in Akron. With the school and with the jobs that he's providing to people. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's fine. Do it where you can have some real impact. And he's impacting the local community and people who live there. So, man, Marcus, thank you, man. We got to get Waz out of here so he can go talk to the school. So,
thank you, guys.
Man, appreciate you. Appreciate you both, as always. Y'all, leave us that 5-star review. We'll be back next week with another great episode of Hoops Adjacent. See ya.